Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. Love to hear from you. 083 311 3311. Yeah, we're here till 8 o'clock. Lots to cover on tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you. 083 311 3311. That works for text messages and also for WhatsApp messages. Or if you want to tweet us, our Twitter handle is at TipFMSport. Before I go any further, because I'll probably run out of time and forget if I don't do it now, congratulations to Maeve Russell, a young student at Loretto Secondary School in Clonmel. She was representing Ireland at the under-17 European Soccer Championship qualifiers in Norway. The Irish team went unbeaten in their three qualifying games against Hungary, Bulgaria and Norway, topped their group and have made great inroads into possibly qualifying for the European Under-17 Championships, which will take place next year in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Maeve Russell, many congratulations to her. Hope she goes well and she'll be delighted to be back, I'm sure, from her exploits in Norway. Later on tonight, we will have the draws for the semi-finals in senior hurling, Seamus O'Regan in intermediate hurling. Just so you know the logistics of that, there are four teams obviously left in senior hurling. Bursley, Thurles Sarsfields, Loughmore Castellaney and Killadangan, reigning champions. There will be an open draw with the exception that the Killadangan and Loughmore Castellaney cannot meet because they were in the same pool in the qualifiers, in the group stages of the Dan Breen. So Killadangan can't meet Loughmore, but it's an open draw other than that. The same permutation and combination occurs in the Seamus O'Regan because you've Cashel King Cormac's, Killinall, St Mary's and Temple Derry Kenyans. The exception there being that Cashel King Cormac's and St Mary's cannot meet because they were in the same group in the opening stages of the Seamus O'Regan. And the same eventuality could occur in intermediate hurling as well, where you have Moyne Temple Tui, Kilsheelan Kilcash, Moneygall and Knockavilla Kickhams, an open draw, with the exception that Knockavilla and Moneygall cannot meet again because they met already in the opening stages. I hope that's clarity personified, but we will have the live coverage of the draws. We'll go over to Thurles later on in tonight's show. Stay listening. We will go over to those draws in due course. We've an awful lot to cover, not least because of the fact that we have four quarterfinals in the division in the three stages of this hurling championship to cover. And we'll start with events in the stadium on Saturday. Loughmore Castellaney up against Kilrowan McDonagh's. It finished Loughmore Castellaney 4-15. Kilrowan McDonagh's 21 points. After the game, Frankie McGrath, who's the manager of the senior hurlers in Loughmore and the senior footballers in Loughmore for that matter, spoke to Tip FM Stephen Gleeson.
We're thrilled. There's a draw tomorrow evening, I presume, to decide who plays who in the county semi-finals, and we're in it, and I'm thrilled that we're there. Kilrowan for us, like, that was quite a scalp now for us this evening, like, so it was. And look, we're just thrilled. The performance mightn't have been everything that we needed, but quarterfinals are about winning and getting into the draw on Sunday evening, and we're thrilled to be there.
Yeah, you just attacked it, got the goals in the first half, and Kilrowan stormed back as you knew they would.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect of Kilrowan. Like, was if you look through their team, like, tis laced with quality, like, so it is. So we were under no illusions of the task that was there this evening, and to come out on the right side of it, like, by a few pints. We're delighted. We're delighted. I can assure you.
You've got a really assured team now. You've got Lee McGrath back from Australia. It's like a new player, really.
Well, he probably doesn't feel like a new player at the minute, like, so he doesn't. But. Oh, sure, he's everybody knows Lee McGrath, like, and the quality that's in his play, and we think that that there might be another gear or two in him yet, and we have to keep looking for it over the next couple of weeks.
And when you're there and you're playing and you're in full flow, Loughmore plays some great stuff.
Well, Kilrowan played some fine stuff too, like, so they did, like, you know, but. That's what we try to do. Like, we'll say all the teams that are there now at this level, they'll all be able to play the ball, that they'll all be looking to, you know, carve out the openings, and say, we're no different, like. So we're not, like, we know there's some serious, there's a few heavyweights in there against us now. And but look, the challenge is there, tis there to be taken on, and I know the lads are bursting to get at it, so they are.
Next week you've got football before you can look at the Dan Breen semi-final. Kilsheelan next Saturday is next up.
Well, sure. we have the football to play, yeah, but we can leave down the hurlies for a few days, like, and we'll have our appetite for 2 weeks' time again, so we'll, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and you're just able to mirror both hurling football.
Look, we're not the only ones doing it, like, so we're not. You know what I mean? Kilsheelan, I expect we're Kilsheelan, I'm pretty sure we're playing hurling today, like, so they were. Upper Church are there. They have hurling tomorrow. They will have football the following weekend as well. Commercials and St. Mary's are there, like, as well. Now, Charlie McKeever and Martin Quinlivan, they might be pulling their hair out a little bit, like, to see so many of the St. Mary's lads, you know, and they're going so well, like, so they are. But look, it's no less than what I would expect out of a town the size of Clonmel, like. You know what I mean? Those guys, they have hurling. There's surely a ton of hurling in them lads. You had the likes of Billy Carroll and co working for years and years there with St. Mary's, like. And, you know, let them guys, let them off, let them go, let them play hurling. You know, it's a big football town. I say Charlie and co, I'm sure they're keeping their thumbs on it as well, like. But let them off, let them hurl. I said that's what we're trying to do. So, but look, that's for another day. All right.
That's Frankie McGrath speaking to Stephen Gleeson after Loughmore's win in the stadium on Saturday. Let's talk to the big brother, Tom McGrath. How are you, Tom?
Good, Ronan.
Firstly, congratulations to Loughmore on that win. Quarterfinals, you progressed through it. And Frankie said it was quite a scalp, to quote him directly. And I think that's a fair analysis. That was a scalp.
Yeah, well, I suppose you look at it. Kilrone won their group. Won a group that was not an easy group to win. And then when, from our point of view, then we were coming in as group runners-up, and to take out a group winner, that's an achievement in itself. Like our group was tough because you had a county champions from last year were in it. There was only a pint in it, so it was a toss of a coin as to who was going to win that group, really, as it turned out. But I mean, Kilrone are a good outfit. Have been knocking around, and like there was only a couple of pints in it. They were in the same group last year. Came down to the equivalent of a primary quarter final last year. Loughmore Castellani came out on top by a couple of pints, and came out on top the other night by a few pints along with a couple. But that was down to getting a couple of goals and maybe a little bit of fortune associated with one of them, or maybe two of them. Got a break down the field for the last one in particular, the penalty just before half time, which was the one that really probably, if you like, killed off the challenge of Kilrone. Well, they did mount a good second half.
I wanted to give them credit. Like that, yeah. Never their challenge was never really killed off.
Well, yeah, but they had a mount at the time, and they never.
I appreciate
they never
that.
Looked like scoring a goal.
I was going to come to that. That was probably their Achilles, their inability to score a goal or even create goal chances. Not least their Achilles of conceding relatively cheaply at the back.
Yeah, well, like the fourth goal, the one that I reckon was probably the one that gave them the Everest, was like John McCormack played an advantage, and it seemed a crazy advantage at the time, but he played it, and the ball, Brian McGrath broke loose, got the ball up, Ed Connolly turned, slipped his man and hit it straight for goal and got his penalty, and John McGrath didn't hit it as well as the first one, but got in over the line. The Kilrone goalkeeper had looked not to have blocked it though, but got the goal, and then you had your four goals and 9 points to 11 points. So, like, that's just 13 scores to 11. But, like, we didn't push in the second half and allowed Kilrone maybe to come at us a little bit. But then Kilrone weren't going to go down without a fight either.
No, you've got to give them credit, I think, for the nature of that second half performance. But, you know, leaving John McGrath, particularly John's second goal, giving him that much freedom was a tad naive.
Yeah, but, like, to the position he took up, to be a place where you wouldn't mind seeing a corner forward kind of drifting out halfway between the goals and the corner flag, but he drifted out and then came in when Noel made the break, and sort of then said it was a Kilrone ball that had broken down about 50 yards out. Loughmore turned it over, made a bit of inroads, then two hand passes later, it's with your top shooter, and that's what you want to do, is you want to get the ball to your top shooter, and that's what he succeeded in doing. And he was never going to miss from there.
No, not of his calibre at all.
But there was I think give due credit to Kilrone. They scored what, 21 points?
That's true.
That's fine shooting in a quarter final, and I think at the start, if you gave them 21 points coming down to Thurles the other evening, they'd have taken it and would have fancied their chances with it, like. But no matter many points you're scoring, I think you'll still run, and you still need to decorate it with one goal, like, because it makes it very hard to win a match without scoring a goal.
It does, and it's not just the 3 points, it's the shot in the arm and the deflation that occurs, you know, the yin and the yang of a goal going in. I think a lot of people were impressed by Liam Tracy's performance. Is it Tracy or Tracy? I better get that right.
Well, Tracy, we'd call him Loki.
Yeah, I know Loki.
Outsiders would call him Tracy. Like,
yeah.
Liam Tracy anyway, like that. I know he was very good, particularly in the first half, caught a couple of terrific balls. And when you have a guy winning primary possession in that scoring zone, well then you're going to hurt the opposition, and that's what he did, like. And that was probably the difference. That probably you look at Kilrowan team and say, who are they? That would be an equal thing. Probably Keane Darcy had to go out the field foraging for ball, and Keane Darcy wasn't the same threat 50, 60 metres out from goal as he would have been in the D or thereabouts. Like,
yeah.
He got it there then. Well, then he's left hand on top. He's harder to block. Different type of strike. And Liam Tracy, which is, they're the same players, like, left hand on top as well, like, and are catching differently, and it's different for backs to counter him. But yeah, Keane Darcy's goal was probably four good points in play, but they're all from distance. And that's suited to have him out of that scoring area, really, like.
Yeah, and they were a bit dependent on Willie Cleary from place balls, 8 frees from him, 265s.
Yeah, like he didn't miss anything. Yeah, and there's someone from distance, so it's probably something that Loughmore Castani probably have to look at, will be the number of free scoring chances that they coughed up. I mean, that they were, okay, you maybe give away the frees and you're not going to concede goals, like, but a couple of cheap frees then is the equal of a goal, like. And you know, it's something I think that Loughmore Castellane have to work on, is not to be conceding that many frees. A little bit more hard work, I think, in the middle third of the thing, half the midfield and half hours in particular, I thought, you know, could have been working up more of a sweat, particularly in the second half, I thought, anyway.
But look, after the opening round of matches where you lost to Killadangan, you are exactly where you want to be. You can't meet Killadangan in tonight's draw, so you know what's awaiting you. It's either going to be Sars or it's going to be Bursley.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, you're going to have to beat two of them three to win a county final. And sure, like, equally so, all the other teams are looking at it the same way now. I mean, it's the same thing. You have to win a semi-final, you have to win a final to win it. And sure, look, that's where you want to be at this stage. And probably coming out of Thurles evening of the match against Killadangan, that more Castellani would have taken your right arm to be where they are now, like.
Indeed. I know I would love to talk to you more about that match, but I have other games to cover, and I do want to get your feel on I know you're at Temple Derry against Gorton, who it looked a fairly easy victory for Temple Derry in that Seamus O'Rean quarter final, 3:28 to 2:15.
Yeah, like it was really over after 10 minutes. Temple Derry got a couple of goals. I had been impressed with Gorton Hough, and I mean, I would have said it here on programmes previously, very impressed with Gorton Hough in the mid, and their county performances up to this, the few games I'd seen them in. And I was expecting, and I had seen Temple Derry as well, so you know, it was one you'd pick and say, look, it's only a couple of miles over the road, you go look at it. And no, Temple Derry are a force to be reckoned with, I think, that they've, and they played most of the match without Brian Stapleton yesterday. He was injured in one of the earlier rounds, and it looked to be a season-threatening injury. But thankfully, from his point of view, and from Tipperary's point of view, it hasn't turned out to be that. And he played the last maybe 15 minutes yesterday, and no bandages, no nothing. So I think he's good to go at this stage, and will be a big boost to them, like, because, you know, a lot of good players. Gerard Ryan hasn't lost his touch, his delivery. Then Gerard Ryan was the one that delivered the ball into Noel McGrath.
I never forget the trajectory.
That kind of gets lost because everyone thinks of the other two parts, but without Gerard Ryan's delivery, and he was delivering that kind of ball yesterday. Adrian Ryan is there as well, Leanna Murray, and then, you know, they have Tom Stapleton and other players around the field as well. So they're a good team, no doubt.
Yeah, there's four good teams left in the Seamus O'Rean semi-final draw that's coming up, obviously, at a quarter to seven tonight.
And similarly
in the intermediate.
Mary's and Cashel can't meet in that either.
Correct, you're dead right.
Yeah,
I just want to move on to intermediate, because I know you had a quick look at Moyne against Golden Confeacle, another one-sided affair here in Borlan.
Yeah, 10 minutes, 20 seconds on the clock. I just looked at my watch. Moyne Templetuohy had 10 points on the board. quality scores, a couple of frees in it, all right, like, but the majority of their scores were from play, really put Golden to the sword. Like, but Golden and Gortnahu, I think, were the same as each other. Nerves played a part, and I think jittery, first touch was bad, then first touch was bad, second touch was worse, and, like, you know, the result told its own story then, like that. I mean, Golden just didn't get to the pace of the thing at all, yeah. And it just went downhill for them the whole show. But look, they played it out to the finish, and, you know, they got a goal towards the finish, but it was too little too late. But Mount Temple 2A, quality side, I think, and possibly, you know, don't want to give the kiss of death to anybody, but possibly saw the Seamus O'Regan winners in one match and possibly the intermediate winners in the other match. But there's a good bit of hurling to be done in all them championships yet, so to be a fool would pick the three winners at this stage, or a wise man would pick the three winners, I suppose, really.
Tom, it's always a pleasure. I know you got to fly, okay. So we'll let you go.
Yeah. Okay, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. That's Tom McGrath joining us there on those three games. Loads more games to talk about. Before I do, one texter says, of all the games played this weekend in the County Club Championship, the most surprising, for this texter at least, was Kilsheelan's 10-point victory over Ballinahinch on Saturday. This young side has reached the semi-finals, beating four teams from four divisions. They may not win it, but will be tough opposition for the remaining teams. It'll be interesting to see who Kilsheelan get. Don't forget the teams that are left in that intermediate championship. You have Moyne, you have Kilsheelan, you have Moneygall, and you have Knockavilla, Dunnasky, Kickhams, and really, really interesting draws that are coming up at about 7:15 tonight. Let's have a word with Liam Hogan. And good evening to you, Liam.
Hello, Ronan. How are you?
Good, my friend. Killadangan 121, Upper Church Drum Band 13 points. I thought Upper Church started well, but goals win games and goals suck the life out of teams sometimes. And maybe that was what happened in the opening 15 minutes of this match.
Yeah, the goal seemed to deflate Upper Church a small little bit. On Bond Killadangan, it took them 6 or 7 minutes to get their first score, and once they got into the stride, there really was. They were the team, really. Maybe a little bit disappointing that they didn't score a goal or two themselves. And I suppose you had to give credit to Kieran Short, the Upper Church goalie, who made two or three very good saves. And but as the second half went on, you could see Killarangan were never really in great fear. Their backs were outstanding. James Quigley, Darragh Flannery, Fergal Hayes, Alan Flynn, Declan McGrath, Jack O'Connan. And Willie Connors and, of course, Tighe at the middle of the field there. They did their piece as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really strong team. But I think what will please the Killadangan backroom staff is that, you know, there was a little bit of third gear towards the end and an opportunity to empty their bench.
That's right, yes. An opportunity to empty the bench now that the second team has made a exit on Saturday to kill and all. That gives the selectors more freedom to pick and choose who they want to bring in.
From a Killadangan point of view, they're pleased with where they are, bearing in mind that they, you know, you've got the second season syndrome. You know, they've got a target on their back, but they seem to be the mantle of champions is sitting comfortably with them.
Yeah, well, so we never know that the four semi-finalists now, you'll be making the draw there tonight now, Ronan, and the four semi-finalists, any one of the four can fancy themselves as being winners in the middle of November. It's a fair one now. I heard Tom there a minute ago saying maybe he saw the same as Arena winners, and maybe he saw the intermediate winners, but picking the Dan Breen winners at this stage of the game is not easy.
Absolute folly. I want to talk to you about the intermediate match you're at as well, Killinall, who would have aspirations of that Seamus O'Regan, notwithstanding what Tom has said about talking up the chances of Temple Derry Kenyans, but you saw them against Killadangan. That game finished, if I can just get my score out in front of me, it finished Killinall 121, Killadangan 18 points.
Yeah, it was a sort of a strange game in a way, as Killinall took the business in the first half, but they could never really pull away. Killinall kept hanging onto their coattails, and in the second half, on five occasions, Killinall came from six back to four, and you just felt that if they got this goal at this right time, you know, when they get a goal, maybe 4 or 5 minutes from the end of a game, the momentum is with the team, you never know, they might sneak a win. But at the same time, you'd have to say that Killinall hit a lot of wides, went into double figures, and the management won't be happy with that. And I suppose Killinall wanted to get the memory of their disappointing game against Loughmore out of the system. And you're looking at that team, there are some fine hurlers there. You have Joe Dwyer centre back, and you had.
You've bubbles on that team.
Bubbles on that team, yes. And you had Killian O'Dwyer, left cornerback, who really shone, and Kieran O'Dwyer, right wing forward. He made an impression on me, and
I was hugely impressed with him when I saw him earlier in the year. Kieran, who's the younger of the two brothers, but he's very solid over the frees as well.
He's right, and a free taking is most important in every game now. Yeah. And his 30-yard run that made the opening for the goal for Kieran Bergen in the first half. And you know, but at the same time, you know, they left their supporters with their hearts in their mouths at times. You know, if Gillian got that goal towards the end, you never know what would happen. But look, in fairness, I think that the better team won.
It's always good talking to you, Liam. I got a fly, as you can imagine. Lots more to talk about tonight before we get to the draws at 7:45. Talk later. That's Liam Hogan joining us there. Let's hear from Killadangan, because immediately after the game, Paul Jenkins from this parish was speaking to the Killadangan manager, Brian Lawler.
Just very happy to be in the hat now for the draw tonight. We haven't had a competitive match in a long time. I know we played Mycarkey, but that the group was already decided. So you're going back a long time since we were really pushed in a championship match, and we did get a serious game out of Upper Church there. Maybe we were well ahead maybe towards the end, but in the first half it was extremely, extremely competitive, and you know, we're delighted to get that ring rustiness out of our system, and we're primed and ready to go now for a semi-final.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes it was all Upper Church. It was 4 points to no score. What were you thinking? I suppose almost up till the first water break it was nearly all Upper Church.
Yeah, well, again, you know, the first 6 or 7 minutes we were very, very poor. I think we went 3 points down, but then I thought we roared into the game in the second half of the first quarter, and I thought it was just that ring rustiness. You know, we hadn't been pushed, we hadn't been at the championship pace. You can't really recreate in training, no matter what you do. You just have to get out there with a proper crowd on this pitch and be pushed by a team that is fighting for their lives as well, and that's what we got. And we got a great goal then from Billy Seymour, I think, and that you know, got us back into the match, and I think we never looked back from there.
Absolutely. Your forward, your attackers, like every one of them, I think, besides Zanamara, and he had plenty of chances, got on the score sheet. How good is that to see from the sideline when you're able to see, geez, we have attackers coming in from everywhere who can score?
Listen, it is an advantage, I suppose. You know, the opposition will always be looking at your forwards and trying to pick out who to mark. And I suppose if you can score from many different areas and from many different players, that gives the opposition a bit of a headache. And, you know, we do have good forwards, but in fairness, any of the four teams that are left are in the same position. They're in the semi-final for a reason. It's 16 down to 4. Any of the four teams left could beat any of the other four teams and could easily win the county final. So you're down to the cream of the crop now. I think the best four teams are in the semi-finals, and I think the public in Tip and the fans are in for some great entertainment over that weekend.
We were just saying there, it's nearly been probably about 2 years since you last lost the game. I suppose it's easy enough when you keep winning, but how do you keep the lads motivated? How do you keep them coming training? How easy is it when you keep winning?
Well, I mean, if you look back, you know, we were a junior A team one generation ago. That's the motivation. I mean, yes, we're contesting at the end of the year now for senior A championships, but this club was down in the doldrums for a long, long time, and these players know that. And that's the only motivation we need. We're not going down. We're staying up for as long as we can.
I kind of already know the answer to this one, but who would you like to see in the last four? I imagine you're going to kick the touch here, but how much do you know, I suppose, of the last three that you're up against? Who would you like to see? Who would you really like to avoid?
Listen, I mean, I'm going to give you the obvious question, whoever comes out of the hat. But I mean, like, the four teams that are left, with the streaming service and with all the players now being so interested in all the games, like, they go and watch each other all the time. They play with each other in colleges and schools. There is no secrets anymore. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we know not more so well from the county final, from the group stage this year. We've played Turles in challenge matches. We've watched Turles. Bursalee are our neighbours in the north. I mean, there is no secrets. All our players know exactly. They could write down on a piece of paper the first 15 of the other three teams. So there is no secrets anymore. And it's going to be a tough game no matter who comes out of the hat.
That's Brian Lawler, the Killadangan manager, speaking to Paul Jenkins after their win over Upper Church in the stadium yesterday. One texter says to me, in relation to smaller clubs, this text comes in from Skeena Rinky / Ballyporeen. It's very disappointing to hear as our hurlers and footballers are being asked to play two big games in 48 hours. Why such a rush? This wouldn't happen to the bigger clubs in the county. Focus is only on running off fixtures as quickly as possible. Player welfare being ignored again. That comes in from Will from that parish, Skeena Rinky, Ballyporeen. I presume Ballyporeen, that they've got a football quarter final against Mull Rovers next weekend, and maybe because of the bank holiday weekend they might be trying to shoehorn in a junior A hurling match. I'm guessing that's what that is, but that sometimes happens over the October bank holiday, and you wouldn't be the first club that that's happened to, so I'm not really sure about your point in relation to it wouldn't happen bigger clubs. I think it does happen. It happens periodically from time to time. It's absolutely not desirable, but there are just so little opportunities to play these games as the light goes. One texter asks me, can a referee give a straight red for verbal abuse? I think there was a straight red given for verbal abuse in the dying embers of the Thurles Sarsfields Mary's match. I'm not so sure what the red was for, but I'm only guessing. I didn't see any strike, but a red card was brandished and I think it was for verbal, so I think a referee is perfectly within his rights. If it's bad enough, then only get red card can accrue from that. Anyway, I'm not a referee. Maybe somebody knows more than me, but I think it is possible for a straight red for verbal abuse. Noel Dundon's on the line. How are you, Noel?
Hello, Ron. How are things?
Mighty, not a bother on me. Thurles Sarsfields 2-19, Clonalty Rossmore 1-14. And, you know, the Clonalty goal came late in that game, so it was as one-sided as you think.
Yeah, Sarsfields were probably comfortable, I suppose, Ron, and once they got into stride, you know, they rattled over the scores fairly quickly and fairly well. And as you say, the goal came from Jack Ryan, a bullet of a free, actually. Buried it, absolutely buried it. Sort of reminiscent of his father, you know, back in years gone by. I think Sarsfields were always comfortable, and they never really looked like as though they were going to lose the game after probably maybe 20, 25 minutes or thereabouts. But, you know, you'd have to credit Clonalty. They came at him all the time. They didn't give up the chase. You know, there would maybe have been a few people in Sarsfields who would have said when Paddy Maher got injured at that time that they could have maybe even taken him off, you know, rather than strapping him up and sending him back out again. But, you know, they saw the game out and they used a few players off the bench as well, which is always nice to do. You don't get too many opportunities in county quarterfinals or semi-finals or mid-finals of that to actually run down the bench, you know.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, Pat Burke rolled back the ages a little bit with some of his performances.
Yeah, sure, Pat loves Temple Stadium, you know, and he worked there for many years, so he knows every blade of grass in the place. But yeah, look at you, I mean, we all know Pat Burke has outstanding hands and an outstanding eye for a score. The goal he scored was a brilliant goal from a tight angle, buried it.
Kind of reminded me of his goal in a minor All-Ireland from a 21-yard free. I think it was about 2007, was it?
Yeah, Pat has all those medals, minor or senior. You know, he's a man of vast experience, and he's been on the senior team there for, God, I suppose it could be 15 years or close to it at this stage, yeah. You know. And a tremendous servant of the club. And, you know, maybe people might have thought that the legs were beginning to go on him a little bit last year, but he certainly has freshed himself up and came back really, really strong. And he's a vital cog in that team now, you know.
The two Cals in midfield as well. I mean, a lot of miles on Mikey's clock as well relative to the others, and a lot of injuries over the years, but he's still able to get up and down that midfield position.
Yeah, sure. Michael Cal is a tremendous competitor. And like his father, when he was playing midfield for Sarsfields for many years as well, you'd never see the end of him. You know, he'd always be there and always have the hurley in. And Michael is the same way. And of course, what Michael gives as well is he gives tremendous cover in the back line, where Stephen Carroll maybe is the man going forward and the man picking off the scores. Michael is the sitter who protects that back line as well.
They dovetail well, don't they?
They do, absolutely. Yeah, they do. And they get through a huge amount of work. I mean, Stephen Carroll is really in a rich vein of form at the moment as well. And I'm sure he's probably, people are probably sitting up and taking note up in the stand. Maybe a few certain individuals who have been brought into the Tipperary fold in recent times, you know, because he's the kind of guy. He was there a few years ago in the tip panel and didn't really get much of a run or much of a look in. But I say with the kind of form he's shown at the minute, he's probably holding his hand up, you know.
I saw your intermediate team against Mary's on Sunday. You must have a hell of a squad of your senior team if Conor Lanigan can't make it. Maybe he might now.
Yeah, and I mean, that was probably the point that I was making last week as well, that when you have a second team, you're not inclined to throw fellas on, you know, to give them a look or to give them a chance to show what they can do. Yeah, Conor Lanigan and plenty of others too. I mean, like, you know, the Billy McCarthy situation is still there as well. Billy has played a small bit and is still training well and trying to make a breakthrough. So he didn't feature yesterday either. Like, so, you know, there are plenty of fellas there in that second team, if you like, who would be trying to break into the 20 who have played already, or 20 or 21 who have played already. But then, you know, I mean, look at you're looking at county under 21 players, Colin Maloney, Kieran Maloney, who are sitting on the sideline.
and can't get in. Kieran Costello as well, you know, Darragh Stakelham came on a sub on Saturday as well. So, like, there's a lot of players there who feel that they should be getting a look and they have to force their way into it, you know.
Absolutely. Do you get a sense, and I know you're a Sarsfields man, so it's maybe an unfair question, the Sars are still playing within themselves? Like, they're going to be put to their pin of their collar, I would imagine, in the semi, whoever they get.
Yeah, I think all four teams that left in the thing are going to be put to the pin of their collar. I think we're in for a really bumper weekend in the semi-finals. But, are they playing within themselves? I suppose maybe they did on Saturday. I think they showed tremendous form earlier on the year where they were really opening up teams and scoring goals with great abandon and all that, you know, hurling with abandon and scoring goals with great regularity. They probably played a little bit within themselves on Saturday, but I would say that's a credit to Clonoisy Ross Moore because they went out with a game plan to contain, you know, and it's a game plan that has served them well actually against the Sarsfields back through the years, but it just came up short on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. I want to talk to you about Bursley against Mullinahone as well, a belter of a game to open our weekend on Friday night. I think everyone would agree it had a bit of everything in it. Did Mullinahone's legs perhaps just not last the extra time?
Probably. I would say, Roland. I mean, to be honest with you, I probably going into that game on Friday evening, you know, you're probably thinking that this would have been a game that would have, you know, was possibly if there was a game that you'd be saying there was a definite winner going to come out of it, it was this one. To be honest about it, I didn't think that Mullinahone would be able to keep to Bursley, but by God, did they prove us wrong, you know. They really, really dug in, and they Bursley got out of jail. Let's call it straight. Yeah. Bursley got out of jail in that game.
Well, one thing I've learned, I think, in the last 12 months about Mullinahone is, in the stadium, they're a completely different animal. They just love that place.
They do love
it. You saw it in the Oireann final last year. You saw it on Friday night. I wouldn't back against them on that pitch. You know, they're better there than they are in any pitch in the south.
Yeah, they do love Semple Stadium, and they've had plenty of experience of it, which is an important thing as well. Now, I know you'd say, well, Bursley have had plenty of experience of it too, but, like, you know, this was a night, from a Bursley point of view, this was a night when a lot went wrong for them, or a lot didn't happen, but they still managed to eke out the result. You know, they were 4 points down, was there 5 points down, when they lost Kevin Maher with that straight red card. So they were down to 14 men, down by whatever number of points it was at that particular time, and they still managed to get back, you know. Then they lost Brendan Maher, you know, with that knee injury, and they still managed to eke out a result. So I think while it may have been a costly game in the sense that you're not going to have Kevin Maher the next day, we don't know what the status is with Brendan's injury.
There's a lot of social media twittering about that, and it doesn't look good for him.
Actually, look, Twitter is Twitter. You know, a lot of fellas on Twitter who don't really know what they're talking about either.
I know.
You know, I mean, Brendan is the one guy who knows what he's talking about. And believe you me, if anybody is going to has a chance of getting himself right for the semi-final, it's Brendan Maher, you know.
Absolutely,
because he'll do everything. But, you know, I just feel that like, you know, a lot of the odds were stacked against Bursley in those last couple of minutes of the game, and they still managed to turn it. Did the legs go on Mullinahone? I would say probably did, Ronan, to be honest. They had a lot of guys going down with cramp. They put back in a few guys that they had taken out even, you know, to try and keep the whole thing going. But your heart to go out to them because it was a superhuman effort that they put in. When you see the way the likes of Owen Kelly and Paul Corn, you know, real veterans of the game, and how devastated they were after the game, that'll tell you what it meant to them, you know. But I'd say, you know, you really would have to say, you know, that term gallant in defeat really comes to mind. You
yeah,
know?
No, they won't. That won't cut butter any parsnips out in Mullinahone Parish. But I take your point. And look, you know, they topped their group. They got to a county quarter final. I didn't see that, so it was a good season for them. Bursley march on to a semi final draw in about 7 or 8 minutes' time. Michael or Noel, it's really good talking to you. I got to fly. Talk to you soon.
Oh, okay, Roland.
Thanks
indeed.
That's Noel Dundon joining us there. And just before I leave that, let's just hear from St Mary's manager, because after their win over Thurles Sarsfields in the Seamus Oireann quarterfinal, after extra time, I should say as well, Brendan Cagney spoke to me on the field.
Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough, really tough, tough game. And look, we just came out on the right side of it. There was cramp going down on both sides. There was fellas getting cards. There was a lot going on, and we got the break of the ball, one or two subs. Niall Hochter in particular was very disappointed to be dropped, but he came on and scored what was the insurance point, so I'm delighted with that aspect of it.
And made the impact, which is what you wanted. But yeah, I must comment on Josh Ryan's point to bring it to extra time. The angle, the guts, the, you know, exactly what you want.
Yeah, 100%. Look, if it had went wide, Josh probably would have been castigated for the next couple of weeks. Unfairly so, because look, it was one shot over the course of the game. It was a super score, and I think it gave us a bit of a lift that we scored a really good hurling score as opposed to a free, and snatched the draw in extra time, and it gave us that bit of impetus, I felt, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you had a half time lead, it could have been more, but the penalty save, and they had a rather fortuitous goal in the second half, which then led to a bit of an ebb and flow.
Yeah, we were 4 or 5 up, I think, at one stage, and then the penalty, and look, that happened. Sean buried one the first day out, and the keeper made a good save. And look, the goal was a bit of a freak. It was probably a peer on one of those blooper shows somewhere along the line. And I thought it was going one way, and all of a sudden a leg came out and just kind of trickled in. It was a bit of a freak goal, but those are the breaks, and you have to react to it. And in fairness, Sarsfield's reacted better. It gave them a huge lift, and they kind of pushed on a bit. And look, we were at the pin of our collar, if I'm being honest. It wasn't looking great for us, but as you said, Josh came up with that kind of, not short of a wonder score, really. Yeah, like, yeah. And to see us into a draw, and look, we kicked on from there, I suppose.
And finally, what does this mean for Mary's? How important a win is this?
Look, I suppose already this year we've done something the club hasn't done in 40 odd years or more. Better historians than me will tell you that, but we weren't fancy to get out of the group, probably heavily tipped for relegation. So this was the next step on the ladder. I suppose last week, the under-19 loss, while deserved, was a bit of a kick. We felt we had a right chance. The following day, we went out in Junior A, so we were cognizant of the fact that you didn't want the season to end in a bit of a whimper. Now you're into a semi-final, and the whole thing is lifted again, hopefully. And look, I'd love the chance for us to play in Semper Stadium and get a bit of a crowd going, because there is a buzz in Clonmel at the minute over to Ireland, and I feel if we can get up there, anything could happen. We're in with a chance. We're in with a chance like everybody else.
Many congratulations, and we talk soon. And see you in Federer.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care, one of Ireland's largest stockists of tiles and flooring, with a great selection of Italian and Spanish wall and floor tiles. KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care.
Find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Apologies for the quality of that. There was a lot of wind on the mic on that particular interview. It was a lovely day on Sunday, but I don't know, there seemed windier on audio than it was in reality. Let's go Camogie and talk to Jerkinan. How are you, Jer?
How you doing, Ronan?
You're at your semi-finals. We know the semi-final pairings, that draw has been made, but let's just fly through the quarter-finals in the senior championship. A lot of one-sided affairs in this particular one. Two particular. I think Anna Carty's win over Nina was massive.
Yeah, but I suppose it's gas. The results, the winning margin was quite comfortable, but it was a lot closer throughout, and Anna Carty really just pulled away more so in the final quarter. I suppose they always led by a few points, but there wasn't much in at the first water break or even at half time. But I suppose there's only so much Nina could hold them out for such a length. And, you know, I think Anna Carty's strength and depth and superior fitness told in the end. And, you know, they told
quite a statement, though, isn't it? 3:17.
Yeah, they totally outscored them there in the final quarter. I think they got 2 goals and I don't know, 6 points in the final quarter or something like that. You know, so finished strong. And sure, I wasn't at the game myself. I don't know, was the wind a big factor as well, maybe, that saw them through, finish very strongly.
Clonalty, 1-11, Burgess to Harris, 7 points. You know, it's a 7-point win for Clonalty.
Yeah, and again, another game that was close and very little between the sides for a long period. But Clonalty, you know, totally outscored Duhara in the last quarter again. And, very surprisingly, Burgess Duhara only scored 7 points, only got 2 points from play from Amy Kendi. The rest were free from Jim McGrath and Cuiva Matter. And look, Burgess Duhara will know more than anyone. 7 points, not going to win a match for you. So they'll be disappointed with that. But, you know, Clonalty have really grown into this championship and, you know, have produced their best performances at the right time. And, you know, just out-fought, out-worked Burgess Duhara, had more options up front.
Are they very dependent on Cott, or are they enough in reserve going into a semi-final against Anna Carty?
I think Casey Hennessy, McBurke, Kate Ferncombe got the goal there, an underage star with Tipperary. So look, they've definitely had more than Cott, but the role Cott plays as well, she's often out further, deeper as well, and you know, I do think they're going to be a serious threat for any team. And look, they have loads of hunger at that side. They're, you know, they're mad to win their first ever senior county title, and they've been close enough the last few years. And you know, we're in for two serious semi-finals for all four teams. Really feel, and we will definitely feel they're well capable of winning the county final. And whoever wins it this year will really be after earning it.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's one semi-final, Anna Carty against Clonalty. In the other quarter-final, you had Cashel with a 1-point win over Thurles, and Drum and Inch had plenty over Silvermines.
Yeah, Cashel and Thurles was really very, very close, and really right down to the last puck of the game. And Anna Fatty scored a point. You know, she was very good throughout, got 5 points in total. I think going into the final quarter, Thurles were 2 points behind and got Roisin Corbett scored two great frees to level it up. And like that, Cashel came back, scored a winning point, and the game was blown up on the puck out. You know, Thurles thought they would have a bit more time maybe to try and pull it back for a draw, but it wasn't to be. So they were fierce disappointed. And, you know, it was a cracking quarter final, you know, really keenly contested, two excellent teams. And, you know, Cashel march on now in a really good position again in the semi final. Drum and Silvermines was at that game. You know, again, your first half very close, really physical, real knockout intensity. And Silvermines trying everything at Drum and Inch, and Drum found it. You know, there was only 2 points in at half time, and really the third quarter was where this game was won. Drum outscored Silvermines, I think, with 5-1, and you know, never looked back after that. And Silvermines struggled to get on the scoreboard really in the second half, and but it was a really strong test for the county champions, and you know, it'll do them a lot of good before they have to beat Cashel. They got a really good quarter final against Silvermines.
Yeah, and that is probably that they're. Four excellent sides left in it, two really good semi-finals, and whoever comes out of those two semi-finals will be battled hardened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think for the first time in a long time we've four really top teams.
Yeah, I think the competitive level is very...
Yeah, like Anna Carty lost to Clonalty, but they bet Drum bet Clonalty. Cashel have beaten everyone so far. You know, obviously they were beaten by Drum last year in the semi-final, but you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be very hard to call the two semi-finals. Really looking forward to it now in 2 weeks' time to see how they go.
Yeah, you could certainly make an argument either way. Gerard, it's really good talking to you. Many thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ronan.
Not at all. That's Gerard Cannan talking to us there. Anna Carty against Clonalty, Cashel against Drum and Inch. That's the semi-final pairings in the Senior Camogie Championship. 2 weeks' time for those. JJ Kendi's on the line. How are you, JJ?
Hi, Ronan.
Are the four best teams left in it in the Dan Breen?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No doubt about that, yeah.
I think Mulnahone, though, raised eyebrows with the quality of their performance, the battling nature of that.
They absolutely did. I mean, of the four games, I suppose, we were all expecting, you know, Kilrowan and Loughmore would be the standout game, the one that people are looking forward to. But I'd certainly go for the Mulnahone-Burris game as the one that gave most entertainment. It was a fantastic game, great excitement and drama and everything the spectators want to see. And the credit for that, I think, in the main goes to Mulnahone. It was an extraordinary performance by them. I don't think anybody expected that. You know, 40-1 outsiders for the championship, and they put up a performance like that against one of the favourites, Bursley. Amazing stuff.
It really is. If you're from the Clochjordan parish, I'd say you'd be tearing your hair out, because you know that's a fine Kilrowan McDonagh's team. There's so many qualities, real superstar players throughout, but they just can't seem to get it over the line.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they look at the first half and say, "My God, what happened to us? Those four goals and game effectively over at half time." And then they look at their second half where they absolutely dominated. They dominated Loughmore, and but just couldn't get the scores again. They just caught at the attacking end, I think, a little bit short there. They needed a goal at some stage in that second half, and I suppose came close. Jerome Cahill was very close on one occasion near the end, and if they had got a goal at that stage, we were set up for a grandstand finish. But it is a frustration for them, because there is a lot of quality, and as I said, when that game went on through the second half, you know, the level of their dominance over Loughmore was extraordinary. You know, Loughmore were really gasping for air at that stage, and you know, Kilrowan were dominating in so many years, but just didn't have that bit of cutting edge in the forward line. And you know, one of the things that always amazes me about Kilrowan, Ronan, is that they obviously
play Niall O'Meara constantly on the half-back line.
Yes.
He's either centre-back or he was wing-back yesterday. And I have questioned this in the past, and I'm still wondering about it. You know, you have an inter-county forward at your disposal, and you don't play him up in the forward, so you don't put him up there when you're caught really for a bit.
When you need a goal.
When you need a goal, yeah. And I mean, Seamus Hennessy had to go off early and that, and so they were really struggling up at that end of the field. But they didn't do it, and maybe they know their players better than the rest of us, perhaps. But I just thought it was a bit surprising, and I'd say they'll be very frustrated after that particular match because they did so much that was good. But the first half was a killer.
Absolutely, it was a killer. We touched on some of the Seamus O'Rean games as well. St Mary's after extra time, 121-119 over Thurles Sarsfields. Connachkenny were beaten by Cashel Kincormacs. We've spoken about Killinall against Killadangan and Temple Derry against Gorton Hoog Glengool. Four good teams left in that. Oh, hang on. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to stop you for a second because I'm going over to Tim Floyd, who's actually standing by. Sorry, I will come back to you in a second, JJ, and get your reaction to this. Tim, how are you?
Good evening, Ronan.
Sure, the county awaits, Tim. Floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you very much. I've just been handed them here now from the CCC meeting. And as you know, the CCC is represented by all the four divisions, so they were all present during the draw. Anyway, I will start with the big one, I suppose, the Dan Breen Cup. And the county semi-final draws are as follows. Killadangan versus Thurles Sarsfields. And the second semi-final will be between Borrisley versus Loughmore Castellini.
Okay, so Killadangan, the defending champions, up against Thurles Sarsfields, and Borrisley against Loughmore Castellini. I mean, they were always going to be mouthwatering, so nothing that has proven to be the case. And you've got some Seamus O'Rean for us.
Seamus O'Rean semi-finals, yeah. The first one is an all-South clash semi-final, St Mary's versus Killinall.
Okay.
And the second one then is Cashel Kincormac versus Temple Derry Union.
Well, there's going to be a South team in the Seamus O'Rean final, that we know for certain, and a South team won it last year, so who's exactly to say what will happen there? Killinall against Mary's and Cashel Kincormacs against Temple Derry. Intermediate.
So, finally, the Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final draw puts Moneygall versus Kilsheelan and Kilcash. And second one is Mine Temple Toohey versus Knockavilla Kickham, Mid versus the West.
So Moneygall against Kilsheelan and Kilcash, and Moyne Temple Toohey against Knockavilla Donaghskey Kickhams. Again, really, really interesting draws. Does that conclude the activity of the CCC tonight?
No, they're fixing the games now as per the venues, and exactly all those games will take place. Those semi-finals will take place weekend in October the 31st. So we'll possibly have one Dan Breen. Now that's up to the CCC tonight, but they'll possibly have one game on the Friday night, the 29th of October. And the second one will more likely take place on Sunday, the 31st of October. And the Seamus O'Rean and Intermediate games, they'll take place across Saturday the 30th and Sunday the 31st.
Of course, RT might come calling.
No, I know they book well in advance.
Okay.
So, no, it's the TG Carr are taking the county senior hurling final, all right. There's nothing else booked in advance.
Okay. Any word on an appeal by I'm putting you on the spot now. Arvale Rovers appeal against an intermediate relegation playoff against Ballybacon Grange. Is that coming up?
Yes. As soon as the CCC have their fixtures done, they have an appeal in from Arvale Rovers. So that'll be here tonight.
Okay. And I don't know. There's fixtures to be set for the senior football championship. Or are they all set at this stage?
No, they're
up on the board. Yeah.
The quarterfinals are done for next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim. Thanks indeed.
No problem, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. That's Tim Floyd there, and I'll go straight back to JJ Kennedy for his reaction. I mean, they were always going to be hard to call, but Killadangan against Sars. Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. I was just looking there. People may correct me on this, but I think the 2016 final was possibly the last major clash between these two. I certainly don't remember any significant one in the last few years. You may remember that final field. They didn't really turn up. I suppose it was their first final for this particular group of players, and they were well beaten by Sarahs on the day. But
we won't see a repeat of that.
No. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since, and Killadangan have really become a force, and are the defending champions. So, you know, you have, I suppose, Sarsfields, they you know, up to 2017, whatever, they completed their four in a row. They, you know, the dominant team at that stage, then a break, and Kildangan, the new boys on the block. So it's a fascinating one, and I hate to be calling it. I mean, Sars are still the favourites. They're still slightly fancied in the betting, I see, and Kildangan are second. So you have the top two favourites meeting in this particular semi-final, which really should be a cracker.
You've Loughmore Castellani up against Bursley, and you know, as it was pointed out already, Bursley don't quite know what kind of a deck they're going to be dealing from, because there was a straight red and then Brendan's knee.
Yeah, well, the straight red obviously will rule Kevin Maher out, and Brendan's knee. Now, the word I was hearing on Brendan's knee was optimistic, that it wasn't that bad, but again, you don't know in these things. But again, that's a fascinating one. You know, they'll know each other, close neighbours, even though different divisions. Just looking at the record, no significant meeting in the last 2 years. I think 2018 they were in the same group, and Loughmore won that one handy enough, that particular match. And you have to go back then 2017 and so on, when they met before that, and some very tight games between them. Again, a fascinating one. Possibly Loughmore, I think, will be slightly fancied in this one. They're certainly ahead of Bursley in the betting at the moment, and I suppose those injuries and suspension and so on is probably being factored into that. But you never know, in a semi-final, anything can happen. I think, Ronan, looking at the quarterfinals at the weekend, I don't think any of these four teams would be fully happy with the way they performed at the weekend. There were patches.
Yeah, but did Kildangan and Sars have to pull out their A game? I don't think they did. Boris, you know, couldn't put Mullinahone away. And then Loughmore scored four first half goals, which kind of, maybe they took their eye off it a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Or am I making excuses for them?
Yeah, no, I'm one of those people that believes you can't really just turn it on and off like that, and that you can sort of go at, you know, in third gear at a particular time, and now we're up into fourth gear. I don't think it quite happens like that. I think all of them will look at the games and they'll pick out patches of the games where they'll say, we were really doing things right there, we were good, we were sharp, we were working the ball well, everything was happening for us. You know, a lot more in the first half, obviously on fire, and John McGrath particularly, I suppose. Then they'll wonder a bit about the second half, and where they were outplayed, let's face it, for long spells in the second, and they were really struggling to hang in there. Kildangan, I thought that was the weakest game of the weekend. I thought it was a very drab sort of game. I thought that they always looked the likely winners, despite a slow start. Once Billy Seymour got that goal and they got a few points to go into the lead, there was never a sense that Upper Church had enough to really challenge them, and that they were, you know, it just, there was a sense of inevitability about it, I thought, as it wore on through the second half. Sars will worry a small little bit again, I think, about the second half, Ronan. And, you know, somebody pointed out to me, you know, in their group game against Upper Church, something similar happens where, you know, they raced into a good lead, but then they kind of got caught and they were on the back foot a bit, and they had to try and rally again. And I think it was the same against Clonalty. You know, they got those two goals before half time, and you know, 10 points or whatever at half time,
yeah.
a big lead. But they were struggling in the second half, and you know, if Clonalty had a bit more on the forward line, particularly, I suppose Cathal Burke being missing this year for Clonalty did them no favours in attack. You know, if Clonalty had a little bit more there, they could have pushed them. So Sarsfields will be wondering about that. So I think all the teams in their own ways, they'll look at the quarterfinals and say, we've got to improve on this or that. Bursalee the same. Bursalee were lucky enough to get out of that on Friday night. That was a fantastic performance by Mullinahone.
Yeah.
And you know, just lucky to get a few breaks at the end to squeeze out, and that's not great form, I would have thought, from them. We would have expected more from them.
We're down to our last 60 seconds. I want to get your take on the Oireann, if I can. Killinall against Mary's, they met in a South semi-final. There was 1 point between them in that particular game. Killinall went on to win the final, but Mary's felt a little aggrieved, I think, with the amount of extra time that was played, and were very much in that match.
Yeah, all South games tend to take on a character of their own, don't they? That, you know, people outside the division looking in might expect Killinall to win this one, consider them to be the favourites, but there's always a local dynamic involved when in teams like these meet. I think, you know, a lot of pressure on Kilmarnock here. You know, they were so poor in the preliminary quarter-final that at least if they salvage something from the season, they need to do well in the Seamus O'Regan. St. Mary's, I think, having one of their better years. And so it's, you know, you said a point in the South game. I'd imagine it'll be similarly very tight in this particular one.
Particularly as they got over the extra time yesterday. Cashel against the favourite Semple Derry in 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds. Cashel, I thought, disappointing. I would have expected them to beat Clonakenny more handily than they did yesterday. Temple Derry, obviously one of the form teams in this competition. So on recent form, you'd be saying Temple Derry fancied slightly in that one.
JJ, always a pleasure. Many thanks.
Thanks, Ronan.
My apologies for that. And we will be back with you next week. Ian O'Connor produced. Talk to you next week. Good night and good luck.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care, one of Ireland's largest stockists of tiles and flooring, with a great selection of Italian and Spanish wall and floor tiles. KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care.
Find them on Facebook. It's 8 o'clock.